mind. We shall see if there's any correlation. If I preach better than tennis shoes, we might be doing this more often. We'll see. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with 27th verse. We're going to long passage. We're going to go right through for verse 40. We're going to finish off chapter 7 here. It says, "Now about virgins, I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment. As one who, by the Lord's mercy, is trustworthy, because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for you to remain as you are. Are you married? Do not seek divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, about how she can please her husband." Let Donna leave too soon. "I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks he is acting improperly toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting along in years, and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, and who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, that he who does not marry her does even better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays where she is. I think that I, too, have the Spirit of God." Let's pray. Father, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. And we come before you right now and we just praise you that you give us your word, that you tell us about today, how we can deal with the world that's around us, how we can deal with the problems and difficulties that we face. Lord, that your word is alive and dynamic, that even as you are unchanging, you are always, always brand new. Lord, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would just touch each of us. Lord, that as I speak this morning, that your word would go forth and that your people would be blessed. Father God, I ask that your name would be lifted up and glorified, and that your people would be encouraged. Father, be here with us now. Speak through me. Encourage your people. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul's been talking on this vein for a little while already, and he moves into a particular portion of it here when he says, "Now about the virgins, I have no command from the Lord." He's referring to some questions that he'd received in another letter, asking him for some help. And they were having a problem. there were some people who decided that we're not going to get married. Some people were, possibly even it was the fathers, saying, my daughter isn't going to get married. Or my son isn't going to get married. People were making these decisions that this isn't going to happen. This passage is one that's sometimes referred to by those who joined monasteries and gone to live a separate celibate life. This is saying, you're supposed to do this. And Paul's saying, this is not a bad thing. That this can be a good thing for the right people. But it's not for everybody. And it shouldn't be something that's forced on anybody. He also refers here to this present crisis. That they were meeting this crisis. What's the crisis? We're not told. We're not sure. It could be. There was a specifically difficult period of persecution against the church at this time in Corinth. As it would kind of come and go in waves, the persecution against the church. And they may have been feeling it a little bit more at that time. But I'd like to go here and say, look more general in this present crisis. And as Paul's going through and talking, he's saying, while you're in crisis, if you're married, don't seek to get divorced. And if you're in crisis, you shouldn't be looking to get married. See, crisis isn't the time to look for to do these changes in your life. You want to get through the crisis before you do these life-changing choices. That things where you make commitments that are for life, that will affect you for the rest of your life. I mean, to say I do at an altar, to marry somebody till death do us part, by definition is lifetime commitment. And yet people were in the midst of crisis, we're saying, I just need to get away. I need to divorce my wife. Because maybe she's a heathen and maybe she's not following God. Well, earlier it said, you need to stay if they're willing to stay. And the women were told the same thing. If he's willing to stay with you, you're supposed to stay. When there's a crisis going on, isn't the time to go forward with this change? Now you can get married at this time, and that's not sin. He's just saying it's not a good idea. He's giving counsel, advice. He's not setting a commandment of the Lord, thou shalt not. I mean, that's not what he's doing. He's saying, okay, You've written me a letter and you've said that you've got some problems going on, that there's a crisis. In the midst of this crisis is not the time that you should be making these decisions. Well, that's just good general counsel. When you're in the midst of a lot of problems, bringing on a wife or getting rid of a wife isn't going to fix it. Bringing on a husband or getting rid of a husband doesn't fix it. A lot of people think it doesn't. But it doesn't. When we do these things in the midst of a crisis, it's us trying to change things ourselves through our own agency. Instead of turning to God and saying, God, give me the strength to get through this. Show me how to deal with this problem. We're saying, okay, how can I fix it? How can I deal with this? Oh, well, if I jettison this problem, if I jettison that, and we start looking for things in our lives we can get rid of. Wow. Paul's telling them there, don't do that. That's not a good idea. You're going to make mistakes that you're going to regret if you do that. If in the midst of your problems, you decide that this is what I'm going to do in your crisis. Okay? Now you say, well, what if my life is always in crisis. I'm never going to make a decision or move forward if I wait till there's no crisis. Okay, everything's relative. This is why Paul is saying this is a general piece of advice. His purpose here is to save us from distress. Because if we make these decisions when we're not properly grounded, guess what? More times than not, we make mistakes. We're sorry that we did that later. Anybody ever made a decision in the midst of crisis that you said, oh, I wish I hadn't done that? You know, yeah. It's what we do. It's what people do. Well, we don't have to do that. You don't have to. Paul's giving you the freedom. Say, hey, somebody's pressuring you, just say, hey, back off. I don't have to do that. I want to wait. If I want to move forward, that's okay. If I don't want to move forward, I don't have to. It's that simple. But yet sometimes we just don't let it be that simple, isn't it? Sometimes we try to make it more complicated than that when it's really very simple. I don't have to move forward unless I want to, unless I'm ready. And when I'm ready, okay. Just don't let the crisis be the precipitating factor. Don't let the crisis be that which is pushing you around, making you do one thing or the other. The crisis should not be driving you. It should be the Holy Spirit which is guiding and directing. I know that can be a crisis experience too, but we're talking about world crisis, you know, light crisis in our life, not the whole crisis experience of coming to know Christ and having the Holy Spirit work in your life, okay? Paul goes on. He says, I want to spare you this, but these who marry will face troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, now that time is short. Time is short. Lorraine will tell you time is short. Be happy to. And I agree with her. We look out in the world today, and I know it's shorter than it was 100 years ago. I don't know whether we've got 5 minutes, 5 months, 5 years, or 500 years, or 5,000 years till the Lord comes again. I'm thinking it's on the shorter end of the spectrum. It's certainly looking like it to me. Paul's telling us, you know, we want to live as if time is short. And that means let's not get bound up in the stuff of the world. Now, this sounds kind of weird. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they have none. Does that mean I should ignore Donna? Not a good idea on my part, I'll tell you that. Is that what he's saying? No. But that... How do I say this without getting myself in trouble? But Donna should not be my first focus. She's not. She's number two. God gets number one slot. But then he goes through this whole list of stuff which isn't supposed to move forward into that where it absorbs our life. Those things which absorb our lives. Okay. Mourning. Anybody have anything terrible happen in your life? Sometimes we just let it take over.
How about those who are happy? Oh, I'm so happy.
Yeah, hey, we sing a song. Like, we let our personal happiness, which is, what's happiness? Which means, I like the moment. And the moment can be wonderful. And we should enjoy happiness when it comes along. But happy just means that I like things the way they are right now. God tells us to have joy even in the midst of our sorrow. What does that mean? I'm not happy in the midst of my sorrow. I have joy. Joy is satisfaction in God's presence. That God is blessing. That God is with me. That even in the midst of my sorrow, I'm going to be satisfied because this is what God has given me. That's joy. And it's different. We often seem to confuse joy and happiness and think that they're the same. But joy is actually this deep satisfaction. It's that where God has put me is where I'm supposed to be. And that He's here with me. And that it's okay. And that if He's put me here, this is where I want to be. I might want to get through it, but I want to be here at the moment. I'm satisfied. I'm not looking at everything else and saying, ooh, I wish that was mine. I'm not coveting. I'm not saying, going through the whole list of I should'as or I wish I could'as or all those. But I'm saying, God put me here. Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? Even in the midst of my sorrow, tragedy, I can say, the Lord is with me. That's joy, not happiness. Happiness, sometimes we say, oh, I got a present. Look what I got. Look what I got. You know, and there's a certain amount of that. That's okay. But we shouldn't let it take over. Those who buy things, they're not theirs to keep. You know what? I was looking at my library shelf this morning. I'm missing some books. They're not mine to keep, so I can't get upset about it. Otherwise, I could be all upset. I'm missing these volume two and volume 10 of this set, and where are they? And no, I lent them out. It's not mine to keep. I shouldn't be all worried about stuff, because stuff isn't what's important. Now, yeah, you might have some stuff, and it might be good to take care of it, but it shouldn't be all-consuming. Where, oh no, I have to go. Why? Because I need to get more stuff, or I need to buy more stuff, or I need to go look at my stuff. You know, people get like that. I'm not joking. We do sometimes just get all involved in these things. But we're not to be engrossed by them, by the world. Because it's just passing away. This stuff isn't going to last forever. None of this. Not this stuff here, this church. Not this stuff, this body. It's not going to last forever. It's just temporary housing. We'll get another place soon. How soon? I don't know. We got to wait on God. His timing. His timing is always perfect. But we need to be ready. We need to be not so enamored and focused on this stuff that we're distracted from God. What Paul's trying to do is to help us to pare down the distractions. If I got all this stuff in my life, if I'm all concerned about my wife, if I'm all concerned about my stuff, if I'm all concerned about being happy, if I'm all concerned, if these are my focus, foci, these are my foci, then I'm not looking at God, am I? I'm looking at everything but. And that's what Paul's trying to point out here, is if you're not married, you're not going to have a wife and you're not supposed to have kids. That's not necessarily so in today's society, but this is the way it's supposed to be. Okay, if we have a wife and a family, if I have a wife and family, taking care of them is going to distract me or at least take some of my energy that I could have otherwise focused on God. And this is true. Now, having these things are good. They're not bad. But if I can, and if I am a person that is not weak of spirit and weak of the flesh and suffers by desires to physical desires and such, then it's probably fine if I don't get married. But if I do hunger after those things, for those relationships, then it's best that I be in a proper one, which would be marriage. Versus an improper one, which is anything else. And those are both good things. But Paul wants us to be free from concern, so that these things aren't giving us a distraction from God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 15. How many of you know that passage without me even turning to it? You're all going to go, oh yeah, just as soon as I read it. Y'all know it, you just forgot the address. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child who will not enter it. Okay? So if you won't receive it like a little child, you don't get to go in. If you can't be childlike. Are children concerned with stuff? Sometimes they can be very enamored of stuff, yes. But when they give, when they become focused on something, they're just focused on that. They don't worry about the cares of the day. Most kids don't worry about when they're going to get a roof over their head or where the next meal is coming from or whether they're safe or not. That's mom and dad's job. And Paul's saying, I'm trying to keep you from having the distraction of having that job. Because it's tough for you to be childlike when you're also, on the other hand, having to be a responsible adult. Now we need to be, not be childish and be swayed by any old doctrine or any old teacher that comes along or that. But we need to have a childlike faith where we're just focused on God. Just that. But that's real hard to do as a parent. Oh, I mean, I can have it sometimes, but there's times when I have to be focused on Donna. It's easier now, I think, that our boys are moved up and out of the house for Donna and I to be more childlike in our faith. Because now we don't have the responsibility of having to worry about, are the boys going to be okay? Now it's just us. She and I. Yeah, we still worry about our boys. I mean, we talk to them every week. Sometimes multiple times in a week. But Paul is trying to help these people who are making lifestyle decisions. Say, how should I go? He says, well, you know, getting married is a good thing. Not getting married is a good thing. But it's an individual thing. What works best for you? You have to make that decision. Don't do it in the midst of a crisis. Just remember though what it will do for you. If you do enter in to a marriage, there will be children, there will be complications, and there will be distractions that do take your focus away from God for a certain part. That's the reality. But that's not a bad thing. That's not sin. Because it's a blessing which God gives us. But there's another blessing for those who don't have that need, that desire. For those, as he puts it here, but the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who has under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and has made up his own mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So you don't have to, or you can. Now, as he closes this passage dealing with being married and unmarried, he touches on the husband and wife and the widow, and that they're bound together as long as the other's alive. You know, if I am to set aside my spouse, you know, and we're to be divorced, you know, even though I may be physically separated, there's still that spiritual bound. Spiritual bind. Okay, which word am I looking for? Bound, yes. Where we are indeed bound together. And it's only at death that it's severed, that it's broken properly. Any other form of severing that relationship is improper, and you shouldn't get married. But once that bond is broken, the man or the woman can make up their own mind. Do you want to get married again or don't you? That's your choice. Paul saying, I think, in my judgment, she's happier if she stays as she is. Well, I know some women that say, well, so says you. I don't think so. I know others that say, yeah, that's the way I feel about it. Again, it's individual. It's up to them. They need to go, as God has made each one of us differently, each one of us needs to individually approach this and say, which way do we go? And neither one is sin. They are both blessed of God. Paul has told us not to be distracted by the stuff of the world as much as possible. But that if we are in that relationship, do count on the fact that it is going to pull us away, so we cannot focus quite as much on God. There's a cost there. But in no way does he say that it's sin. He says it's good. There's a blessing that's involved there that you wouldn't otherwise have. But there's another blessing for those who say, you know, I just want to live my God, or live for my God, and that's it. And that's fine. One isn't right and the other wrong. They both have different blessings. But in either situation, no matter what, we need to come forward to God with that childlike faith, not be concerned for the things of the day or the world. See, if we are being concerned, we're not trusting God. We're not following Him. And that's where we're just supposed to just give it up, be like a child as we come to God, trusting that our Lord will provide, not being irresponsible, but saying, oh, God's in charge of that. I'm not going to worry about it. That freedom comes there. That's God's department, not my worry. All my life growing up as a child, I did not worry that we would have a roof over our head. Now, some families, that might not be the case where the parents had difficulty providing. But I never had that concern. Now, I need to have that same style of concern for my life with God in the areas where He's in charge. And what areas are those? Pray tell. Oh, the whole thing. God's in charge. Have that childlike faith. Have that focus centered on God. Remove the things that are distracting us. Don't get bound up in the stuff, but be enamored of our Lord. See, that childlike trust with these kids this last week was really awesome. You know, it's the kid that says, "Here, catch!" and just leaps, expecting the parent to catch him. You know, I've seen your grandkids do that with you, Kev. They just like, "Hey, Grandpa's going to catch me." Boom, off into space they go. Well, God's going to catch you. Are you leaping? Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You give us counsel on how to live our lives in Your Word. That You show us that there are multiple ways that are good. That there is not necessarily just one perfect way. But that we can be married or we can be unmarried. We can have a family or not have a family. And both are good. Both are blessed by You, Lord. Lord, that we don't have to try to just say what it is in cookie cutter. Each of us out and say we all have to be and do exactly the same. But that each one individually can seek and find and follow You in Your will as it varies for in details for us all. Lord, help us to be childlike in our faith, not concerned about today or tomorrow, but just enamored with You right now. Lord, might we not be distracted by the things of the world as we come to You, but might we give You our full attention, all our love, unashamedly, unabashedly, and completely. Father, be with us each one as we go through the things of this life. Might we go through them leaning on You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to close by singing the doxology. You please stand with me.